The first coach in the teleconference is Wisconsin's Brett Bielema. Bielema guides the Badgers as they make their second consecutive appearance as the Leaders Division representative in the Big Ten football championship game. Wisconsin claimed its 13th conference title with a victory in the inaugural Big Ten football championship game a season ago. A victory on Saturday would give the Badgers three consecutive Big Ten championships for the first time in program history. Coach, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Scott. Very excited about the opportunity. Obviously, a team that's gone through some struggles, but a team that shows up every week and doesn't matter what the situation, how we got here. It's one game for us to make a chance at, take a chance at history. No school here at Wisconsin has been to three Rose Bowls in a row, won three straight Big Ten championships, and it's something that I know our guys are excited about.
Okay. Thanks, Coach. Let's go to questions from the media.
At this time, if you have a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your first question comes from the line of Brian Bennett with ESPN.com.
So I wonder if you could kind of evaluate how the season has gone. You look at it, and you guys had a chance to win every game, but then you look at the record at 7-5. So how do you kind of evaluate what happened this season?
Well, I think, Brian, the biggest thing is our kids have come every week ready to play. They battled their tails off, went through some adversity, both on the field and off it, some injuries that kids have continued to step up. We've had a lot of guys play with a lot of pain and couldn't be more proud of where they're at. Obviously, we'd love to have more wins, but for us to be in the position we are today, I know that to go back to Indianapolis and have a one-shot opportunity to get our way into the Rose Bowl is incredible and give a lot of credit to the players and coaches that made them get there.
And, a rematch during the season is unusual, but you guys did the same thing last year. Did you learn anything from that just in terms of how to prepare for a rematch, how to scout, and that sort of thing?
Absolutely. I told our coaches this morning, we'll tell our players this afternoon, that there's never been a team in Big Ten history that has been able to do this and win, and we own that title right now, being able to do it last year in a redemption game against Michigan State. The same thing kind of holds through. We lost a heartbreaker to Nebraska on the road, played well in that game and did some things not so well. So know if we can make those corrections and continue to move forward. I know they're a better team than we saw early October. Early October. And I know that we're a better team too, so it's going to be fun for us.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Petrikas from the Journal Sentinel.
Better team. In what ways do you think they have improved? And a second question to that.
Jeff, I'm sorry, I missed the first part of your...
You mentioned that Nebraska is a better team now than back then. In what ways do you think they have improved? And then also, do you have any more information on Aberderis's his health and his status for the game?
Absolutely, Jeff. First, it seems, obviously, I didn't see all the game on Friday, but watching them after we played, they've continued to find some schemes that work well with Taylor, as well as I think a group of wide receivers that got comfortable with him, more and more this year each game. And then obviously when Rex is in the game, it changes things a little bit, but I also like the other running backs. So they've continued to grow offensively, defensively, have settled in a little bit more. They haven't given up as many points in certain ball games. Obviously, I know they've given up some, but they've been able to win the close games, and that's only, done, through the journey that they've been on. They've been able to pull through some of those things, and last Friday ended up being one of those games. As far as Abby, I know he felt good coming off the plane, coming off the bus. I have not talked to the doctors yet this morning. They usually meet with them until 2 o'clock today, and then we'll get an update. But I know it's in Abby's hands, and I think he'll be ready to practice by Tuesday.
Thanks.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Dick Janda from KLMS Radio.
Compare Joel Stave and the quarterback who's playing now as quarterbacks.
I'm sorry, I keep losing the first part of every question.
Could you compare the quarterback who's playing now and Joel Stave, who played the first time around against Nebraska?
The quarterback playing now is Kurt Phillips. He's a senior. Didn't have an opportunity to start until actually 2 weeks ago. Got his first start on the road at Indiana, and then got a good win there. Was able to take senior day here for his first start in Camp Randall, played a very, very good ball game and took Ohio State, who obviously finished season undefeated, and took them to the wire and took them into overtime and did it on a scoring drive in the last minute and a half with no timeouts, and did the same thing this past weekend in hostile territory in front of 100,000 at Penn State, just weren't able to get a victory. So they're both different quarterbacks. Joel's a freshman that stands about 6'5" with a strong arm and stays in the pocket. Kurt can make some things happen with his legs. He's very active, he's a competitor, very, very good arm, especially on the move. So guys that are different in styles, but both are great competitors.
So you would say that Kurt Phillips is more of a mobile quarterback?
I would say that.
Yeah. Talk about running back Monte Ball now and earlier in the season. Seems like he's rounded into form as the season has gone on.
Yeah, he's gotten better every game, as much as he has in his career. He's obviously the all-time leading touchdown record in NCAA history. No small task to get that done. And he's showed up for work every day. He gets frustrated, but just makes him go harder. I think has really improved in certain areas this year. A great example is just his pass blocking on third down. It's an area that he's 100% improved upon from a year ago. So a lot of positive things for him to play a complete game.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Hellwagon from 24/7 Sports.
Yeah, Coach. The question I have, coming off three losses in overtime here in the last four games, what was the sense, after you talked to your players and maybe looked them in the eyes after the game yesterday, and just are they down because of the tough losses, or are they up because they see the tremendous opportunity you still have in next week's game?
Well, Steve, I think after the game, there's no doubt. It hurts. It hurts our players when they don't have success. They play extremely hard. They're a physical group. They play the game the right way. I think they act the right way, and they behave in a way that makes you hold your head high in victory or defeat. So that part is very hard to swallow. But, today will be better. Sundays after a loss are never easy. It's a learning experience to watch the film and see what we have to do better. But I am just amazed on a daily basis the resiliency of this group to pop into work. I thought our guys came out fired up yesterday and obviously did some really good things in that first quarter, and I expect more of the same. I know there's going to be a lot of Wisconsin fans that travel to Indianapolis. If anybody's trying to decide to go or not, I can guarantee we'll have a group of 70-plus men coming over there to put on one great show, give it our best effort of the year, and see what it can bring us.
And just to look back at the first game, obviously you guys had a 27-10 lead in the third quarter, and as you mentioned earlier, played pretty well on the whole in that game. Just obviously Nebraska's got this reputation as a team that comes from behind and has won several games. Just what is your initial thought looking back on that game and how this one may also play out?
Well, I think first, give credit to Nebraska. They did an excellent job of playing a four-quarter game in that game. Taylor Martinez was critical in the stretch on the third and fourth quarter. Connected not a lot through the air, but he connected some critical throws that were huge. Also had two or three big runs that kind of broke the game open, got our defense on their heels a little bit. So it was an experience that I know our defense grew from quite a bit, not just player-wise, but also coaching-wise. Guys knew what they needed to do or what they failed to do in the third and fourth quarters to get off the field and get us a victory. But we're a completely different football team. We're obviously offensively got a different quarterback, and defensively have changed a little bit schematically as well.
Thanks, Coach. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Rich Kapus from Omaha World Herald.
Hey, Brad, some guys like Abdullah and Kenny Bell and obviously Taylor with Nebraska, can you just talk about the speed that you have to prepare for with Nebraska, maybe compared to some other Big Ten teams?
Yeah, especially it's a guy at each position. I think that's the part that Bell has been I've been very impressed with him, even going back to a year ago, just his ability to, use his speed in connection with the play-action passing game, I think, is awesome. Abdullah is got this other gear with pads on that is very difficult to defend. And then Martinez, the part, you have a difficulty in him is, he's got the drop back scheme where he's, got the full picture. He's got a view, feel for what's going on down the field in the patterns and the routes and the coverages. But then he has the ability to make something happen if that gets shut down, against a three-man rush, four-man rush, five-man rush, whatever is the call, that kind of makes him separate and makes him harder to defend than a normal quarterback.
Hey, Brett, you mentioned also the Rose Bowls and being in this game last year. The value of that experience, what's that kind of mean when you guys get ready for Saturday and get there Saturday?
Well, you know, you go over on Friday, and to be quite honest, it's like anything else I've ever done. I was fortunate enough to be in the Big 12 championship game when I was at Kansas State, played Oklahoma. They were ranked number one in the country. We were fortunate enough to win that game, but it didn't have near the big game feel that this thing has. It, you know, being in the pro stadium, and last year we were the kind of the dress rehearsal for the Super Bowl, so I think it would even ratcheted it up a little bit more. But you go through things that you don't normally do on game days, and Friday you do your practice at an away game stadium with some media requirements, and then there's a lot of pageantry to it. I thought the Big Ten did an unbelievable job of, you know, setting a level of bar last year that was really, really high end and done in all the appropriate ways from the time you arrived to the time you left.
Thanks, Coach.
Yes.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Christopherson with Lincoln Journal Star.
This is actually Steve Sipple from the same paper. Hey, Coach, I was just wondering about the physical toll on your team, perhaps from playing Ohio State and Penn State back-to-back. Is it maybe more so than normal because those teams are pretty physical?
Well, I'd say definitely Penn State. You know, Ohio State, I think it's not the same type of offense. You know, defensively it's a little bit different game because they're so spread out and everything's kind of one-on-one tackles, and it just doesn't bring that physical nature. But Penn State, it was a physical game yesterday. But, you know, I think in the way the Big Ten lays out, there's a couple teams, you know, you mentioned them, us, Nebraska, Iowa, Michigan State. You're going to feel it the next day. And our kids, if we didn't train them the way I know we train them, you know, it's a 365-day training program to play in this level and in this Big Ten conference that is done in a way that's probably unique to us. So our guys know, hey, you take Sunday and Monday to heal. Tuesday we'll get back out there. I'll be smart about practice this week. We'll back off a little bit on total time on the field as well as the amount of contact we have so that Saturday they're ready to roll.
Thank you.
Yes.
Your next question comes from the line of Tom Mulhern from Wisconsin State Journal.
Hey, Brett. Seems like kind of public sentiment has shifted a little bit away from the two ineligible teams in the division and almost on you guys. You know, some people believing you don't deserve to be in the title game. Is that bothersome at all?
It isn't, Tom. You know, and I appreciate the question and understand it totally. I think there's 10 teams out there in the Big Ten that would love to be in a position that Nebraska and I us are in right now. You know, kind of say this, when the two teams take the field on Saturday, neither going to care how the other team got there or what their record is. They're just going to be looking to compete for a Big Ten championships. And, you know, I understand where that's come from, and you obviously follow our program, Tom. I think the people that know us and know our kids, they do feel good about us. I mean, everybody from the Big Ten around the league that once we found out we were going, I've had so many great notes, emails, cards, letters saying, hey, congratulations, it couldn't happen to a better group of people. And we've been on the short stick of a couple very, very close, hard-fought games. I think the optimist in me looks at it and says, hey, we were in these games. You know, we lost to Ohio State and Penn State, who were ineligible to play in the game. We lost to them both in overtime, where one play here or there, we could win them, you know, and we didn't. And I get it, and it's going to be my task for the next year to come out with reasons why we have to or show why we can, but it's not going to diminish what we've accomplished.
And speaking of the fans, Brett, do you think there'll be a lot of excitement among Wisconsin fans for this game?
I sure hope so, Tom, and I'd love to get it out there as big as possible. We are going to probably be as full strength as we've been since our bye week. I think we'll be as healthy. You know, obviously Abby is a little bit in question there, but I think the early reports are that he's going to be okay probably by Thursday or so. So I think we'll be as healthy as we've been. Our kids are going to be excited for this environment. The last game against Nebraska, you know, obviously was a great ball game. We didn't win it, but our kids are hungry, and it's going to be a lot of the same formula and motivation that we had last year to play Michigan State, and we all know how that environment was.
Your next question comes from the line of Eric Olson from the Associated Press.
Yeah, actually, my question has been asked and answered. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Sam McElwan from Omaha World Herald.
Brett, you made a choice very early in the season to fire your offensive line coach. You replaced him with a really young guy. Now that you can look back on that decision, what was the reaction of your team at that moment, and how do you feel like it's worked out for you?
Well, you know, at that moment, when I made the decision to make transition, it's something I'd already processed earlier, probably in that week, and then it just got confirmed to what I saw over the weekend. So it was a decision that I knew I had to do. It wasn't an easy one, but for me, I just want to make sure that I give every person on this in this football family a chance to win, and I knew that had it happen. I couldn't be more pleased with the development we've made. Have we been perfect? No, but we've made strides. We've got our players playing better up front. As a whole, offensively, we've played better, and you know, I definitely don't have any regrets as far as when I first told the team. The one thing that my guys, I think, hopefully understand coming from my mouth is, you know, I don't mince words. I don't hold back. I speak the truth. I speak the reality, no matter how hard it is to hear. And I just told them the reasons I was making change, the direction that we were going to go. And everybody buckled up and got on bus, and we took off rolling.
Go to the next question.
Your next question comes from the line of Sean Callahan from HuskerOnline.com.
Hey, Coach, just out of curiosity, do you like playing this game indoors, or would you like to see the Big Ten move this game to outdoors in the future?
You know, Sean, it's a great question. I think last year before the game, I probably, you know, I'm a Big Ten traditionalist. I'm from Illinois and played at Iowa and live in Wisconsin, so I've kind of been in the Midwest, and I kind of love the outside element. You know, played in a kind of a cold weather game yesterday and love the thrill of that. But I think at this point, you know, the ability to give our fans the best opportunity to watch a great game, it's probably couldn't be any better than it is in Indianapolis. And I understand, you know, that certain teams might have a geographical advantage because they're closer or whatnot, but it really is an incredible venue to watch a football game, to coach a game, for our players to play in a pro stadium and, you know, get to be in a locker room where they know every player that plays on those teams. It's pretty cool. So I think the argument was there before, but as a coach who's played in it, and obviously Mark and I, Dan Antonio, have the only perspective, it's going to be fun. You know, I go back to, because we talked about it in coaches' meetings. We talked about it in our spring meetings and in January, how great it was. And then in the summer when we got together as coaches, you know, I've known Bo a long time. You know, I've ran in the same circle of friends in this coaching profession. And when we got done with our game, when we shook our hands in midfield, you know, I got a great amount of respect for him. And the first thing he did is he smiled and he said, "Let's meet back in Indy." And I didn't really want to hear it at the time, but I am going to be excited to meet those guys back there. I got a tremendous amount of respect, and it's going to be a great, great environment.
You know, playing that game inside, how much does it maybe help Nebraska's offense a little bit more, feature some of that speed? Because, you know, last week in Iowa City, the wind and the cold, you know, Martinez and some of those playmakers on the edge weren't really able to do what they did earlier.
Yeah, but when we played them last, they were at full speed. You're on your home turf, and it was great conditions. So I don't know if they can play much faster just because they've got a roof over their head. But I get where you're coming from, and that's the elements that I was kind of talking about. That I think at first everybody kind of said it might be nice to play. We definitely play a certain style at Wisconsin because geographically it fits for what we do, you know, and we can play in warm weather, cold weather, cool weather, wet weather, dry weather. We can play in a desert, but I don't know if that's the case for everybody.
Hey, thanks, Coach.
Your next question comes from Andy Coppins with Madtown Badgers.
Hi, Coach. You had mentioned, obviously, earlier about the offensive line and transition there, but you also dealt with a lot of injuries. Could you talk about what Robert Burge brings to the table and the resiliency of the group as a whole?
Absolutely. You know, Robbie's stepped in both at guard and tackle. We've had a number of guys. Zach Mathias has popped in there a little bit. Costi's been in and out. Just the resiliency of that group. And Ryan Groy, of course, playing left guard, popping out and playing left tackle when Ricky Wagner went down. I think it's a group of guys that believe in what they're being taught. It's a coach that I think has a plan and attack and has the versatility to kind of fit guys into it, and then the combination of those two ingredients working well together. It never goes well if you got the players that can execute it, but they can't hear the plan, or if you got a plan that's great, but the players don't want to hear it. It's how those two fit together, and fortunately, we've been able to have success with that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Your next question comes from the line of Jeff Petrakis with Sentinel Journal.
Awesome. I'm thinking back to that in the first Nebraska game. I don't think Shelton played. I don't think Brendan Kelly played. And Gilbert was coming off the comments he made, and you held him out from that starting assignment. Do you think those three individuals, as they stand today, can help you do a better job defensively against Martinez against that offense in general?
Without a doubt, Jeff. I that's what I'm excited about earlier when Molly asked the question if people would be excited. I mean, there was I appreciate you pointing that out because I'm not that kind of guy, you know, that's going to give excuses to do anything like that, but there were a number of players in that game that didn't, A, practice or didn't even play that will be back at us full strength. It's been kind of a difficult year for us. And another question previous that, you know, we've had just in my time here as a head coach, I don't know if I've had more players miss that were great players for us that have missed entire ball games to be without Borland in the last couple of weeks. And it gives a lot of credit to the guys stepping into their roles, but also gets me very excited about how good we can be. We're going to be a great team on Saturday. No matter who's going to show up and play, we're going to play great and put on a great competitive ball game against a great team in Nebraska. And may the best man win.
Thanks.
Yep.
Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that is star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question comes from the line of Rich Kapust.
Brett, you guys were the last team, I believe, to complete better than 50% of your passes against Nebraska. Can you talk about what the answer is against them and kind of what the challenge is going against their DBs?
Well, twofold. They're very aggressive. They're very talented DBs and run a lot of different schemes. I know our quarterbacks, especially in the first half, quarterback and receiver were able to connect on a couple long balls, which are very, very important. I think it's important to stay ahead of the chains against Nebraska. You don't want to get in third and longs. You want to be in third and manageables. I prefer not to be in third at all, but that doesn't usually work out. But I think the advantage that you have to take is know what they're in and be able to take the right route according to what they're showing you. But again, they show a variety of different looks, which make that task that much harder.
You kind of caught my attention a little bit earlier what you said about the Big Ten game and having gone through a Big 12. Well, what's the biggest difference? Is it just kind of all that's surrounding it that's done differently?
Yeah, and I don't mean that as a disrespect whatsoever. I just, you know, maybe I'm just older and wiser. Maybe it's because of head coach and I pay attention. You know, I'm the last guy. I've been in every one of these Big Ten stadiums, and I never. Every time I walk into each locker room, it's like the first time I've been there. I never can remember anything. But the Big Ten game, I just didn't remember the hoopla all about it, you know, coming in. I don't think they did this. Maybe they did, but you come in a day in advance. You come in on Friday, have to do your practice, and you walk through there. You go through a media session. It's pretty detailed with some of your players. You have a moment where it's you and the head coach. Me and Bo will be together. I'm assuming they're doing it all the same, where you kind of have a media opportunity, both of you there together. And this year, as much the same as last year, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mark D'Antoni last year. This year, have known Bo forever. I was psyched when he came in the league because he and I kind of same age and got a lot of the same thoughts and philosophies. Sean Eichhorst is one of my best friends in life. To have him as the AD there now is kind of a neat perspective as well. So just a lot of really cool things. And then the hotel, having them kind of dressed up and just certain things that our players got, it just seemed to bring a lot to it.
Okay, thanks, Coach.
Yep.
Your next question comes from the line of Sam McElwain.
Brett, you mentioned Bo just a second ago. What's the best thing he does as a coach? What impresses you most about the way he handles his team?
You know what? They play hard. They're very aggressive, I think, offensively and defensively. They play with an edge. And you can see that come through, you know, time and time. know you guys like to beat him up about his demeanor. He's the same guy every day, man. I've known Bo for a long time, and he's the same person that he is every time I'm around him and get a chance to be around him. He's obviously a guy that loves to compete. All those Youngstown guys all have that innate quality to kind of just take everything for what it is, and it's about may the best man win no matter what we're playing. So that part I really truly appreciate about him.
Your next question comes from the line of Josh Harvey from Fox Sports.
Coach, with Nebraska playing on Friday, how big of a deal this late in the season is an extra day of rest?
Well, it is. It's a day of rest. It's a day of prep, knowing Bo. They got to jump on us pretty good, and if not yesterday, even maybe Friday night, whatever it was. I know that every minute counts, you know. The unique thing about time in this world is nobody can buy extra. You know, you only got a certain amount of time, certain amount of preparation, certain amount of recovery. And I don't care how high you're ranked or where you stand in the world of college football and your history, everybody's time is the same. That's the one common ingredient we all have. So those that can maximize and use it to the fullest usually benefit the most and have greatest success.
Your next question comes from the line of Andy Coppins.
Yes, Coach. I also wanted to get your thoughts on what has changed with the play of Devin Smith over the course of the season as well as Dez Southward.
Andy, great question. I think those two guys are playing their best football. Devin Smith in particular was playing very, very well last year. As we know, he was a senior last year that had never redshirted, broke his foot, I believe, in the third or fourth game. He was playing exceptional football at that time. Pretty significant foot injury that he's battled back, persevered, and came back from. And I think it took probably four or five games this year to get back in the flow of doing things at full speed at 100%. He's played lights out the last several ball games, both in run and pass. Desmond Southward, a young man who only played 1 year high school football, took him off of the recommendation of his high school coach, George Smith, at St. Thomas Aquinas, a guy I've known through the years, just said, Brett, this one's going to be special, and he was 100% correct right on, and has been a great player that's gotten better every day in our program, one of our best athletes, hardest hitters, and really expect him to have a big game this week. He loves the opportunity to play in these games.
Your next question comes from the line of Brian Bennett.
Brad, I was wondering, do you expect to have Chris Borland this week?
Brian, is if I got to have Chris Borland this week?
Yeah, that was my
question. Yeah. Yes, I think just based off of where he was last Wednesday, Thursday, and plus we took him along Saturday because we thought there might be a chance that he could get a miraculous recovery by Saturday. And he kind of gave me one of those yesterday getting on the bus back to the airport that I'm going to be there this week. So I think it would be a very very unlikely if we didn't get Chris Borland back out there for this week.
And also, you mentioned Sean Knight, of course, being a close friend, and, of course, Barry went to Nebraska. Just the closeness of these two programs and all they share in common, is that kind of special for this kind of game?
You know, I do. I just, you know, I really respect Bo for what he is. I mean, he's the same guy every day. Like I said, I love his approach to things. I love, you know, before Big Ten meetings, I'm probably going to be sitting next to Bo just because we kind of always kind of share the same kind of thoughts, it seems like. So, and then, you know, Ike's obviously a new kid in the game. I mean, he just got there. He really, it'll be his first experience, and excited to see him. And I had a tremendous amount of respect for Tom Osborne. I know Coach and Tom obviously share their history there. And Coach Alvarez loves Nebraska. I mean, he thinks the world of that program and what it's been able to accomplish and models a lot of what he did here from what he learned at Nebraska through Devaney. So, yeah, there's a lot to it. I'm excited for our fans and our players. I think last year when they came here, there was a lot of respect between the two fan bases, and this year when we went there, it's kind of the same thing. And obviously we get to go to Indianapolis, share a neutral site, and see what happens.